In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us.
He is among us.
Great and holy Lent is the season of a Godward journey, a Godward pilgrimage. And the destination of this pilgrimage is not back to the old city of Jerusalem, but the old temple. This journey's destination is to the new heavenly Jerusalem and the new temple. Such is what we're told in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 2 and 3. I will quote those few verses for you. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with men. End of quote. The new city, Jerusalem, comes down from heaven and is God with his people. The psalmist, speaking about the old city, Jerusalem, and the old temple that was destroyed, said this, quote, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. End of quote. The city on the mountaintop called Jerusalem and the new temple is not a building or a physical location. It is Jesus the Christ who came down and is coming again to draw all things into himself. He is the temple. He is the city. And when we're united to Christ, we are participants in the life of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's our journey during Great Lent. That's our destination during Great Lent. And not to make this Godward journey, not to make this Godward pilgrimage during Great Lent, and in fact all of our life, is to do what? Is to remain in the Old Testament. It's basically to sit down and not move. But note how often in the Old Testament we are given the image of the people in movement, in motion, moving somewhere. Abraham, get up and move. Moses, take your people and move. Even when the people are in exile, get up, I will bring you back. There is constant movement in the Old Testament, and the movement is always toward God. And when the people are not moving toward God, what happens? They find themselves stagnant and becoming old, and they find themselves not in the holy city, not in the holy place. And in fact, on a few occasions, the temple is destroyed. The person who sits in the Old Testament in our modern times, it's that person who seeks God only when it's convenient, because you need protection, you need something. It's for safety or finding in God some kind of entertainment or finding in God solely some kind of psychological peace. The Christian faith for the person sitting in the Old Testament becomes what? A mere set of doctrines, a mere set of rituals, a mere set of prayers that are memorized. but it's all abstract. Nothing in the heart changes. Nothing in one's personal actions changes. One's interior life doesn't change. Everything's rituals, obligations, and duties to be performed. How many times have we heard someone say, maybe we've fallen into that trap, how long is the liturgy? Oh, it's 50 minutes longer? It's longer than 50 minutes? I don't have time. That's a mentality of duty and obligation. There's not love behind that, and it displeases God. I have to fast how much? What's the minimum requirement? I have to say my prayers every day. I have to say them. It's duty. It's obligation. It lacks love. And that's the person sitting in the Old Testament for how the Lord rebuked those who were simply following the mere ritualistic actions and prayers. And what happens? Yes, the person who does their fast and does the minimum or goes to church every Sunday says, okay, I did my duty for the week. I feel justified. I feel satisfied. And who are we like? We're like the Pharisee that we were warned about 6 weeks ago, who stood before the Lord and told the Lord everything that he was doing that was good, how he performed all the rituals and all the obligations he was supposed to do. And the Lord says, yes, you walked away justified in yourself, but not before Almighty God. Those who are on the God-worded journey, however, realize it's not so much about the rituals and the obligations and the duties that we are supposed to do, or that we have to do. The real question is, am I on the journey? Am I moving in the right direction? And so the heart of the movement of the journey is what? Repentance. Conversion of heart. Or what we call metanoia, the changing of the way my interior life looks and acts and feels. Those of us on the pilgrimage of ascent, and that's what it is, we are ascending as God is descending. And the ascent is through repentance. Yes, and then the irony, as I descend, as I lower myself in repentance, I am elevated up. Just as the Lord said, when I am lowered, then I am raised. Today marks a milestone during the great and holy season of Lent, during the great fast. Today is a milestone. Today we have reached what's called the midpoint of Great Lent. Yes, 3 weeks from now, the holiest week of the entire year will commence. And at this midpoint, the church does what? She places before us the sign of victory, the instrument of victory. The cross. And so the church calls this third Sunday of Great Lent the Sunday of the Holy Cross, or the Sunday of the Veneration of the Cross. Accompanied by singing the great doxology, we walk with the cross in our midst into the world, symbolizing something. Symbolizing it's actually living out what we hear in the gospel passage. Take up your cross and follow me. And note how our hymns and our prayers today do not speak of lamenting and grieving and sorrow and pain and suffering. No. No. Our hymns and prayers today are filled with joy, victory, consolation. Because the cross is not something to weep over. No, the cross is the symbol of our victory. It's the symbol of our joy. And what do we do today? In our procession, then we came forward, singing to it joyous hymns, venerating it, and falling down on our knees and kissing the ground and then touching that holy instrument that once was the greatest fear of mankind. A great instrument of torture. In fact, in the church's wisdom, today's liturgy borrows hymns and prayers actually from the Paschal liturgy and puts them in today. What's going on? Why is the church doing? Why do we have this liturgy on this third Sunday focused on the cross? Mother Church knows how weak we are. She knows our feeble human nature. She knows how we get distracted easily. By now, probably the fasting and the other works of Great Lent beginning to take its toll on the body, on the soul, on the mind, on the spirit. Our liturgies are longer. Our prayers are longer. We have intensified fasting. Maybe you've been more conscious about almsgiving. Maybe you've been doing some vigils. Maybe getting up a little earlier. Well, we get tired. Maybe you're feeling a little fatigued by now. Maybe a little burdened by now. Furthermore, as our fathers, as our teachers, as the saints, the desert fathers, and the holy men and women tell us, when you engage in serious, intensified spiritual warfare, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged by the fact that you will be tempted more. The demons are on the high alert when you're on the road toward conversion. And therefore, don't be surprised if along this way you find yourself reminiscing or desiring old sins and old bad habits. It's normal. It's expected. If it's not happening, maybe your transformation during Great Lent isn't going the right way. The liturgy today is doing what? Placing before us the cross, which stands on the hill, and we're on the journey up the mountain. We're trekking up that mountain. It's difficult and it is hard. And yet, when we see that cross, what do we see? We know that where that cross is stands the heavenly city. And so already midway, the church shows us the cross, and already breaking through the clouds are the rays of joy and hope of the Paschal liturgy. And that's where we're all heading. And so the Lord, the church today gives us the passage from our Lord. Take up your cross. Don't drop it. Pick it up. Keep going and follow me. That's what today's liturgy is about, encouraging you. And me, emboldening you to keep the journey going. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. So as a conclusion, I'll share with you a passage from Orthros, which sums up basically our entire liturgy today and all of this week. Quote, today, in the time of fasting and difficult journey and effort, the life-giving cross was planted in our midst by the Holy Father to give us rest and refreshment, to make us light and courageous for the remaining task. Our Lord Jesus the Christ, who is about to show us his victory over death and to appear to us in glory, is sending in advance this royal symbol, the life-giving cross. It fills you and me with joy and makes you and me ready to meet the King himself. We are in the desert, and in this symbol, Christ comes to meet you and me. In this symbol, Christ comes to comfort you and me. In this symbol, Christ comes to give you and me rest. Take up your cross and follow me. Christ is among us.